I'm so excited about this message. It is brand new. It is something that the Lord showed me that I never knew in 49 years of ministry, called the Hebrew year 5252, a massive prophetic discovery. This is going to put some things together for you that's going to make sense maybe for the first time in certain areas of prophecy. I'm going to be talking about a particular year on the Hebrew calendar. We're going to translate that back to our Gregorian calendar. Then not only are we going to share with you some very amazing information about that year and the prophetic side of it and why it's so important, but toward the end of the message, I'm going to do what everybody's been waiting for, and that's to take the Jewish year, translate it to the numbers and the symbolism, and tell you what God is saying about this next year. How many of you have ever heard us do that? Raise your hand. How many of you know it's usually accurate almost every time? So we're going to get there today. It's going to be great. First of all, the Hebrew year 5252 is a major prophetic year. However, there has been a lot of calendar confusion. I don't know if you all realize how many calendars are actually out there. On the Gregorian calendar that we use as Gentiles, it's the year 2025 as of this moment. In the Islamic calendar, it happens to be 1446 AH on the Islamic calendar. On the Hebrew calendar, it is now 5786. On the Coptic calendar, it's 1741 AM. I don't know what AM means. In the morning is what I think it means, but anyway. Then we have the Solar Hijri calendar, which is 1404 SH. Then we have the Bengali calendar, which is 1432 BS. Then we have the Septuagint. So if you want to know why nobody knows when Jesus is coming, there you go, right there. What calendar are we on? You know what I'm saying? So I want to talk to you about a dating period or a dating time, which is based on something called the Septuagint. Tommy alluded to this when he was preaching. When Alexander the Great took over the world and formed the Grecian Empire, the Greek language became the known language of the world, the acceptable language of the world. You had the Koine Greek, which is the common Greek. You had the classical Greek, which was used by the philosophers. But in line with that, this is very important you understand this, that when they translated the Bible from the Hebrew to the Greek, that's what the Septuagint is. It's the Old Testament Hebrew translated to the Greek. They did something really strange. They messed up the calendar in the Septuagint version. Now, how do I know that? Because what they began to do, they began to date things, and even the early fathers started using the Septuagint calendar, and it really began to throw things off. Let me explain it to you this way. From the time of Adam to the time of Christ, if you really do the calendar study, is about 4,000 to 4,004 years. And there are scholars that have proven that if you take the time frames of the Old Testament and add them up. The Septuagint, however, was different because it said that from the time of Adam to the time of Christ was 5,500 years. Now, this is what this created. So, in other words, Jesus comes, according to the Septuagint calendar, it's 5,500 years from Adam. Most of the early fathers believed in what's called the six-day, 6,000-year period, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. Therefore, Jesus would come after 6,000 years and set up the millennial reign, which was the seventh day of creation, the time of rest, and that would be the 1,000-year millennial reign. Okay, let's add this up. So if I'm living in the time of Christ and I'm going by the Septuagint calendar, I'm beginning to think we have 500 years. And when that 500 years come, it'll be the year 6,000. And when the year 6,000 comes, this has to be the time when the kingdom is going to arrive. Now, that would place the idea of the kingdom of God coming to earth about somewhere between the 5th to the 7th centuries AD, again, depending on how you count the calendar. So here's what I want to tell you, and this is where history begins to shift, and it starts making more sense. Somewhere, there was an emperor by the name of Constantine that came in the 4th century. Constantine the Great legalized Christianity, as most of you know. When Christianity became legalized, as far as the Roman Empire was concerned, something else happened very interesting, and that is that the Western Roman Empire, that's Rome, Italy, and everything in that division was beginning to collapse. They began to collapse over struggles, and senators were killing each other. Does that almost sound familiar now? You know, and then they had all kinds of economic problems. I mean, wars were breaking out, trying to keep the peace. Pax Romana, keeping the peace. It was a mess in the Western Roman Empire. Constantine comes along and he does something very interesting. He decides to build another Rome, in which he calls the New Rome, but it's not called Rome. It's called the Byzantium, or the area of what would later be called the Byzantine Empire. So Constantine goes over into the area of we know as Turkey. It was Asia Minor back then. And he goes over into that area, and he comes to an area that the history tells us that he began to build an empire in the east. And this empire was actually headquarters out of the area of what would later be called Constantinople, which today is located in the area of Turkey. Now, when this began to happen, you've got to understand what is taking place. They're coming near the 6,000-year period. So they think that the kingdom is going to come. So the Byzantines, and this is what they were known as, the Byzantine Christian Empire, the Eastern Empire, they come up with this bright idea of making a kingdom. So they're going to form a kingdom called the Byzantine Empire. It's going to be a Christian kingdom. They're going to mint their own gold and silver coins. They're going to build buildings. They're going to go into the Holy Land, listen to me, and find the churches where Jesus preached. They're going to build these beautiful structures. Why are they going to the Holy Land? If you've been to the Holy Land, how many have been there? How many of you know there's Byzantine churches? There's a Byzantine, there's a Byzantine, there's a... Why are they doing it? They're preparing for the rule of Christ on the earth. They're getting the buildings ready. They're getting the churches ready. Because they believe the 6,000-year period is somewhere pretty soon on the horizon. And so they decide to begin to build an empire. And the idea of this empire, and you can't miss this, was to have a 1,000-year Christian empire in the east, of which Christ would be the head over. And of course, that was known as the Byzantine Empire. And if you've been to Israel, you've seen the ruins of the churches. If you studied history, you know that they lasted for over 1,000 years. And so here we have this group, but the inspiration is Constantine believes, and Christians at that time are believing, that they're coming to a 6,000-year period, and they have to prepare for the kingdom to be set up on the earth. Now, is everybody tracking so far with me? I want to make sure you got this. Say amen if you are. Good. Okay. Now, originally on the calendar, the calendar was 360 days making a year. That's all through history. However, things began to change, and so they changed into what we have as a calendar today, as far as the Gentiles have, 365.25 days that make a year. Now, the Jewish calendar counts from Adam to our time right now, 5,786 years. But our calendar counts 6,025 years from the creation of Adam to 2025. And we're talking now basic calendar time. We could go in and talk about when they shifted it and Julian and Pope this and Pope that. But if you want to take where we're at, Gentile time, we are at 6,025 years from the creation of Adam. Well, that throws some theories off about the six-day theory, because we should already be in the millennium. So you tracking with me? I'm going to make you think. You're going to have to think. Somebody, look at your neighbor and say, Mabel, did you have your coffee tonight? I need to make sure Mabel had her coffee tonight. Now, there's a lot of history here, but I promise you, it's going to get really interesting in just a few moments. Now, so here we have two calendars that are important. We have a Gentile calendar, 6,025 years from the time of Adam to our present time. We now have a Jewish calendar, and during Rosh Hashanah, as you know, the Jewish New Year, it changed to the year 5,786, which is hundreds of years less than the 6,000-year-old calendar. I wish I had time to tell you why, but I won't. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you, because this will help you understand the calendar problem. God, we are now at the time of the Gentiles. Would you agree? This is the season of the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles. The blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Jerusalem will be surrounded by Gentile nations until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So we're living in the grace of God, the mercy of God, the seasons of God, the church age, the Gentile church age, if I can use that expression to help you understand, because most Christians are Gentiles. Not all, but most of them are Gentiles. There are Messianic Jews, we know, but it's a smaller remnant compared to the number of Gentiles that are there. Having said that to you, listen to me carefully. When God is in the time of the Gentiles, He uses the Gentile calendar. This is going to make sense to you in a minute. In the tribulation, God reverts back out of the Gentile calendar of 365.25 days making a year to the original Jewish calendar of 360 days making a year. How do I know it? Because twice in the book of Revelation, Revelation 11 and 2 and also chapter 13, it says that there will be 1,260 days that makes 3.5 years or 42 months. It don't. Not on our calendar. But if you count in the book of Revelation the years as being 360 days a year, Jewish calendar, original calendar of God, then it adds up to 1,260 days, meaning 42 months or 3.5 years. So my point is, as long as we are on Gentile time, God is going to focus on the Gentile calendar. When the church is removed, God goes back and begins to recalculate based on the Jewish calendar and the days making 360 days making a year. And you can go right to the book of Revelation and add it up. And that's exactly how it adds up. Somebody praise God. Give Him a praise if you understand so far what I'm saying. Well, someone says, okay, Perry, you're preaching tonight about the Jewish year 5252. What does that translate out on the Gregorian calendar? Everybody ready for this? 1492. We're about to go somewhere. And I know where we're going and you don't. And I love it. Okay. 1492 was a horrible year for Jews. 1492, if you know history, is when Columbus was credited. Now, Columbus, the Vikings were here first, by the way. That's a fact. But Columbus is credited for discovering a new continent that he named after Amerigo Vespucci, who was an Italian man, and it became known as the continent of America. Later, the states were formed to become the United States of America. Now, I want to take the year 5252, and I show you something interesting. I want you to notice 52 is mentioned twice. 52. If you take that and you do what you've seen me do for years, and some people love this and some people think it's a little weird, but I have always been a little weird. How many know what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you've known me a long time. So on 5252, if you take the Hebrew alphabet, most of you know that you take the 22 consonants of the Hebrew alphabet and you can do two things. Number one, you can give every one of them a numerical value. And this has been happening all the way back in the time of the Babylonian captivity with the Jewish people. Number two, every Hebrew letter has a symbol that it represents. Aleph is an ox. Bet is a house. Gimel, this is letters 1, 2, 3, and 4, is a camel. Dalet is a door. So in Hebrew class, they teach you two things, that every one of those 22 consonants of the Hebrew alphabet have a number value. It starts at 1 and it ends at Tav, which is 400. And then they have what they call final letters. There's 5 final letters. They shape different than the other letters, but they're called finals. And that's where transitions occur when you read it in Hebrew. So let's stay on the subject because I don't want to get too complicated that I lose you. If you take 52 and you take 50, the number 50, and you take the number 2, it'll give you 2 Hebrew letters. It gives you the letter Nun, and the letter Nun is valued at 50. It also gives you the letter Bet, and the letter Bet is valued at 2. You see the illustration there on the screen. So if we take the 50, which is the Nun, and the Bet, which is the 2, and we put it together, what is it total? It totals 52. Now let's talk about the numbers themselves. The number 50, how many know what the number 50 represents in Leviticus? Keep on, come on. I must have the Hebrew bunch over here. Rest of them kind of looking at me. Okay. 50 is the number of Jubilee. And when you have a Jubilee, the land is set free. Watch this. Slaves are allowed to go free. They're allowed to go back to their home. You have all this positive stuff. Debts are released. So 50, the letter Nun in the value of the Hebrew alphabet, is that that's exactly what it means. It means freedom as far as the number 50. The number 2 is it's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph Bet. Bet is a house. The symbolism of that second letter, whose value is 2, is a house. If I were to put 52 together and realize there's 152 here and 152 there, the 52 means this. Are you ready for this? A house with freedom. Hello, 1492. And now we have a double, a 52 and a 52, which is a hint to tell me that this house of freedom that's going to be found in 1492 is going to have two parts of freedom to it. And I can tell you without a doubt what the two freedoms that we have are. One is religious freedom, of which the founders came over here for, from England and the different countries. And the other is political freedom to speak and to assemble and all those wonderful things that we have. So we have a house with a double blessing. And the double blessing is political freedom, vote your people in or vote them out, be able to speak publicly without fear of repercussion. And we also have the spiritual freedom that is caused. Now, the letter Nun is the 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Being the 14th letter, it is interesting that Columbus, on the Gregorian calendar, discovered the continent, or is credited for it, in 1492. All right, so he discovers this continent. Now, here's what's also really bizarre about the letter Nun. If we go to Paleo-Hebrew, now Paleo-Hebrew, someone says, what in the world is Paleo-Hebrew? When the Jews were in exile in Babylon, they came up with the Paleo-Hebrew. Later in history, they came up with what's called the Aramaic script. Now, here's the picture I want to show you. That is the Paleo-Hebrew picture of the letter Nun. And in Paleo-Hebrew, in the picture graph, it can be a sprouting seed, but it is also considered, now this is important to remember this, it can represent the sperm of a man that is creating something, that's going to give birth to something. Oh my goodness. So in the Paleo-Hebrew, we have the loins of a man that's getting ready to procreate something that has never been in existence. I hope somebody's hearing me. Never been in existence. Existence before, but it also can represent, as I said, a seed that begins to sprout, a new seed that is going to sprout. You see, when you realize that Columbus discovers this place or is credited for it, I'll get letters if I don't say it that way. He's credited for that. What he's doing is he's planting a new vineyard. Read the prophecy in Isaiah about God's vineyard that would be planted in a new place. He's planting a vineyard. He's planting a new place. He's planning a new place of history where history is going to be completely changed. Moses' successor is called Joshua, the son of Nun. And believe it or not, the word Nun in Hebrew, the root can mean to re-sprout or to shoot out from the ground. Come on, somebody. Are you checking me? Are you checking it out? So here's what's interesting. Now, this is where, to me, the story starts deepening. So now you got the year 1492, 5252, which is representative of a nation that's going to be born, and it's going to have freedom. It's going to be a house of freedom, right? We got that down. That's pretty cool. But this even gets more bizarre here. What I'm about to tell you is more bizarre than what I just told you. At least that's the word I use. Ready? Remember now, the Byzantine Empire is formed around 330 or so, and it's formed by Constantine. So it continues to exist. It continues to exist. There are wars being fought in the East. There are wars being fought in the West all during this time. But guess what 1492 was on the Byzantine calendar? Everybody ready? The year 7000. You're already ahead of me, Joseph. I know how you think. Okay, on the Byzantine calendar, according to the Byzantine calendar, in August of 1492, everything was supposed to end. The Lord was coming. Oh, y'all ain't hearing what I'm trying to say. And what they're basing this on, again, let me just say it this way. They expected the apocalypse to occur on the 7,000th year, which was 1492, which was 5252 on the Jewish calendar. So in 330 AD, let me give you a little summary to help understand this. In 330 AD, the Byzantine Empire was set up in Turkey under Constantinople. The Byzantine Christians had it from 330 AD to 1453, or 1,123 years. Here's what's weird. The Byzantine Christians were believing that August of 1492, 5252 on the Jewish calendar, the end of the world was coming, and Columbus set sail in August. There's something going on here that is far beyond what history has taught us. It was said to be one of the greatest gatherings in the history of our ministry, the best of revival and prophecy combined. If you're interested in a right now word from the Lord and messages that reveal coming events that will inspire and equip you for the future, then these 9 messages are a must on your list to see and hear. Now, I could say so much about each one. However, let me just give you the titles that reveal some of the content. Jonathan Kahn preached on prophetic hints in recent events, what God is saying through these things. Tommy Bates preached the message, it is time to see signs and wonders for your children. And then we have Joseph Z, who taught a great message on God has unfinished business with America. Billy Burke conducted a healing service that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, his message called Get Back the Expectations That You Can Receive a Miracle was a dynamic faith builder. Now, I preach 5 messages that I want to give you the titles on. The Hebrew year 5252, a massive prophetic discoveries. We also preached on AI discoveries proving that God exists and prophecy is true. One message that left everybody talking was, if I had one message to leave you, this would be it. We had a Friday afternoon service and I exposed 4 things that almost destroyed me. Well, what a talked about message that was. Saturday morning, I preached on dying ministers and the mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Now, these 9 DVDs come in an album for offer number 25ME-DVD for $95. The 9 audio CDs are also available in an album for offer number 25ME-CD for a gift of $55. The messages on the MP3 flash drive are offer number 25ME-USB for $55. You can also get the messages on digital download, and you can get that at DL25ME for $45, video on demand, and there's actually 5 ways that you can order these messages, and I hope you will take the time to do it. Now, you can also call Voice of Evangelism at 423-478-3456. You can order online at perrystone.org, or you can write us and send a check to Perry Stone Ministries. It doesn't go to me, but it goes to Voice of Evangelism, and you can request CDs, DVDs, flash drive, or any other the other methods that we have. Now look, VOE is able to reach the world because of your continual support of these resources and offers that we make available. We have many doors opening, but we can only go through them with your help. We know that these messages are going to change the outcome of your situation, so order them today. I have several important things to share with you, so stay with me for the next few moments. First of all, this offer, the DVDs, the MP3 flash drive, and the audio CDs of the main event are now available. Folks, in all my years of conducting the main event that goes back to the 1980s, I have never received more downloads that are right now words from God personally. And when I heard the other speakers, I was so stunned and amazed. And the great healing service that happened on Friday was absolutely incredible. This is a great series of teachings. You can get on DVD or you can get on the audio CD, and I'm imploring you to do it now. It's going to be well worth it. Invest in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And remember this, the revelations can change your situation. Now, the other thing I would remind you of is registration for the International Prophetic Summit and Warrior Fest. They are available through perrystone.org. And please don't register just to register, only if you know you're coming, you have planned it out, and you've worked it out. Do I want you to register for this? No fee to attend, no fee to register, but you have to register in order to get into the building. I've got to show you this. My staff got me this. This is a Perry Stone. I don't even know what it is. It's got glasses and a Bible and a microphone. And I laughed so hard when I got this from them. And then that there were 12 of these made. I've had dear friends ask me for them, and I won't give them up because there's only 12 made. Look at this. I collect sports cards. So they made a card that says Evangelist Perry Stone Jr. 2025. And I have my little Dodgers outfit on because normally I come to work with sports jerseys. Bible in one hand, microphone in the other. It is gray-headed. I have to say that part is right. The glasses are a little different. But this is what this... I don't know what you call it, is a doll or whatever. But I thought I wanted to show you this because this is absolutely hilarious. So thank you to my staff. I have the greatest staff in all the world. I'm so appreciative of them. I'm appreciative of the work they do. And thank you for your prayers and support that keep us going. Don't forget, Israel's coming up in May as well. So go to perrystone.org for more information. I'll see you next week.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z., Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit perrystone.org for more details. Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.